I'm going to preach on the Spirit of God. Because you stop and think, a lot of people have ideas of what our country needs. And it may need this person as president. It may need a better economy. It may need this and that. And everybody has their opinion of what's going to fix our country. And that's okay. That's fun. It's fun to talk about politics. Stirs up the things at the barbecue you're going to have on the 4th. But you know what's funny? Hands down, this country needs the Spirit of God. Amen. This country cannot have the Spirit of God if the Spirit of God is not in us. And by the way, we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about how the Spirit of God can be in each one of us. And what you have to do to have it. And what you have to do to have the Spirit of God have free reign and be able to affect those around you. How many of us would agree that our families are in crisis today? Yeah. If the individuals are in crisis, if the individual states are in crisis, the country's in crisis, wouldn't that be understandable that the world's in crisis? And this world is in a crisis, but the answer starts in each individual. We got states having to close their government and shut their doors over an argument over opioid addiction. We talked about that earlier. How many of you ever thought that people getting help for addictions could shut down a whole state and services cut off? Stop and think about this. One of the richest countries in the world, one of the last superpowers in the world, and we can't even deal with our families or individuals. We're being ripped apart at the seams. And you know what? There's a lot more at stake than shutting down a state government. What's at stake are the souls of men and women and children. And we have to start, draw a circle, stand in it, and we've got to start praying, Lord, start the revival here inside this circle. The Spirit of God. Much misunderstanding has occurred about the Holy Spirit. Conservatives have got to where they're afraid to even preach about Him. We got other groups that want to elevate Him so much that they will make the Holy Spirit into being a false god. We got to understand how God intended the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. I want to start reading in verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold Me no more. But you will behold Me. Because I live, you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in My Father, and you in Me, and I in you. He who has My commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves Me, and he who loves Me shall be loved by My Father, and I will love him and will disclose Myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to Him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose Yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love Me does not keep My words, and the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father who sent Me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, I would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it comes to pass. And when it comes to pass, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. I ask you, as we look into the words of Jesus as he spoke, help us to take to heart the things he was trying to teach his disciples. Help us, Lord, to know you as Savior. Lord, if there's anyone in here today that does not know you as Savior, may today be the day of their salvation. Help them to embrace you and accept your free gift. And Lord, help the rest of us who know you. We are your children. Help us, Lord, to be inspired to walk like we never have. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this section. And sometimes you can read this and just read over it and not realize what was just said. My first point is the plan by Jesus. The plan. The greatest things start with a plan. Sometimes it looks like everything we do is kind of shooting from the hip and there's no plan, rhyme, or reason. We just do. But you know what? That's not how God works. Jesus had a plan. And the plan he had a specific calling. He says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. There's a lot in that one verse. Jesus had went to ask the Father something. Now stop and think about this. Jesus was healing people of leprosy. Jesus was doing things that were miraculous. He claimed to be the Son of God. And yet, he goes and asks the Father. And by the way, this grammatical structure here indicates Jesus didn't go ask the Father as an inferior goes and ask his boss or a superior something. No, the grammatical structure here indicates Jesus was equal with the Father. And by the way, that's the way it's supposed to be. They are. Jesus is the Son of God. He respected his Father. He went to the Father and asked the Father to send the helper. The helper, the paraclete, means called alongside. He came. That is the Holy Spirit. And you know what? He has a very specific job to do. Now remember, Jesus is about to be taken out of the world. The helper was requested by Jesus. The helper, the Holy Spirit, if he went and asked the Father, that means he was sent from the Father. Name one thing that was sent from the Father into this world that was wrong or bad. Everything God created was good, by the way. Oh, yeah, judgment came. Oh, yeah, terrible things came. But when God does something, it is for our good. It is good. And God sent the Holy Spirit. And by the way, he called him the Spirit of Truth. I'm telling you now, we live in the age of lies, it seems like. You can't even trust the newscast anymore. You can't even trust a newspaper. I never heard of the term fake news. And this year, I guess I'm just old school. If you tell me something, I just believe you. If you walk in the door and say, Brother Brett, I saw a rhinoceros walking down the road, I would probably believe you. And you'd laugh and say, I'm naive, but that's just the way I was brought up. I like to just trust. And nowadays, you can't trust anything. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. I'm sick and tired of dealing with lies and living in the midst of lies. And when you live in the midst of lies, you can't trust anybody or anything. You know? Pastors now can't go back in a room and pray with one person. They have to have a witness. They have to have somebody else in there with them so nobody gets accused of wrongdoing. What have we done to ourselves? You see, Jesus says, I'm going to send the Spirit of Truth. And he says, by the way, this helper, this Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. The world, the lost world, can't receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's for believers. It's sent, the Holy Spirit. And by the way, you know when Jesus was resurrected? Do you realize, and I did not, it just kind of caught me. I tried to think of any exception. He only appeared to believers. When Jesus was resurrected, he did not appear to unbelievers. He only appeared to believers. His job was to the saved, the believers. The Holy Spirit is sent to believers to fill us. And by the way, he said he would be there forever. Forever. Did not King David pray, Lord, take not your Spirit from me? Preached on that a little bit ago. By the way, if you ever miss a sermon, Brother Don has the task. By the way, pray for him. Because he has to go through my sermons and take out those little side comments I make. And he sanitizes them a little bit and puts them on the web. Right, Brother Don? And I trust him. I trust him. You think I go back and check your work? I don't. I trust you. You see, and he does put them on the web. So if you're out and you miss, you can go to the church website and you can listen. And you can get this message. See, we have to really understand what God is trying to do with us. The Holy Spirit was sent not to represent the Holy Spirit. Jesus prayed the Father would send the Holy Spirit to represent him. The Holy Spirit proclaims Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit fills believers. David had to pray in the Old Testament, Father, take not your Holy Spirit from me, because the Holy Spirit would come and he would leave. You know what? When we get to heaven, the Old Testament saints are going to come up to us and say, I can't believe y'all. Y'all had the Holy Spirit. And he wouldn't leave. We get in trouble. We mess up. He left. It said forever. When Jesus uses the word forever, is there anything that's not going to be there? No. Forever means forever. The Holy Spirit is in you as a believer. When you get saved, you're a believer. The Holy Spirit is there forever. Now, the question is, well, I know somebody and I really believe they're a Christian, but boy, I don't think they're filled with the Spirit. You may have thought that about yourself. The Holy Spirit can get beat down. The Holy Spirit can get grieved. The Holy Spirit can be pressed under. And that's what happens in a believer's life when you get away from God. You get away from God's Word. You get away from prayer. You get away from other godly believers. You start running with the wrong crowd, and guess what? Pretty soon, you look just like the lost world. You look like the crowd you run with. That's why it's so important that we immerse our life in God's Word, in communicating with God and around God's people. It's very, very important. See, he's going to be with us forever. If you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't know if I have him. The only question you need to ask yourself is, do I have Jesus in here? Because that's where it starts. To become a believer, what do you have to do? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. You see, it's a free gift. You have to make sure you're saved. And if you don't know that for sure, you know what? I would not get in my truck and drive down the road out here if I did not know I was going to heaven. And if you do and you're not sure, you're braver than I am. Because you don't know what the next breath's going to bring. You don't know what's going to happen. you better make sure. Do not leave these doors unless you know you're going to heaven. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You don't have to do bad to deserve hell. You have to be born. The Bible also says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And when you believe, you accept that free gift of salvation. He paid your price already. It's paid for. I mean, think of a really cool object that you would love to buy right now. For the boys, it may be a new gun. For the girls, I don't know. My wife would be a new pair of shoes. Girls, whatever you would want. And what if I said, on this front pews, we got all sorts of gifts for each one of you. And by the way, it's all paid for. Just come up and get it. Kind of like the free squash. I'll use that as an illustration. It's paid for. Now, if you really want squash, or you really want the shoes, or you want the gun laying on the counter, and you walk out those doors without it, well, I wish I had a gun. Somebody's going to look at you and say, or I wish I had those shoes. I wish I had some squash. It was right there. Why did you just not receive it? You can have a million excuses, but guess whose fault it is? When somebody says, I can't believe God's going to send somebody to hell, you know what I say? I say he doesn't. They send themselves. Because they refused to receive the free gift of salvation, they sent themselves there. And you know, when you're at that point, I don't care whose fault it is. All I want to do is make sure you don't end up there. And to don't end up there means you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just a little bit of it, not just half of it, all unrighteousness. And you know what? When we are cleansed of all unrighteousness, we are pure. And when you're pure, you are like God and you can be in heaven with him. That's amazing. Well, I want to also go forward. We have a specific calling for the Holy Spirit, but there's also a special message. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you after a little while the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me because I live, you shall live also. The special message is Jesus says, I will come. The resurrection appearances I mentioned a while ago, he says, I will come. The Holy Spirit whom he sent, that's Jesus says, you're better off if I go and send him. Because guess what? He's in you as a believer. He's talking about his death and resurrection in verse 19. In a little while you'll behold me no more. Verse 20, in that day you shall know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. This is a kind of a confirmation part. The special message is to confirm the proof, mind you, of the love that is there. He says, you're in me, I'm in the Father, we're together. And that is the proof, the confirmation that we love, that is the proof that you believe, that is the proof that, guess what, you are going to live. And when Jesus was resurrected out of that tomb, that's just showing the devil, hey, the victory is won. We need to sing victory in Jesus at the end of this, because that was the victory. You see, we have a special message, and he says, by the way, verse 20, in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. But then he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. He who loves me shall be loved by my Father. I will love him and will disclose myself to him. That relationship, that bond It's something that you never get through learning about. And by the way, if you look at verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now, he may have been specifically talking to his disciples, and I'm sure this happened. But do you think there's another layer of meaning on this where the Holy Spirit works in us, shows us things, brings to remembrance? How many of you ever have been struggling with something and you went and you opened the Bible and it fell open and you looked down and the very thing that you were struggling with, it's right there in front of your face and you read it? How many times have you been praying and a verse pop in your head? You know, I'm not too good at memorizing verses, by the way. But you know what? The Holy Spirit will bring to you those verses you need at the time you need them. And it's amazing. I mean, Diane and I have left our Bibles open before, come back and it's on a different page the next day or something, and you look and we start reading and it's the very thing we needed to hear. I mean, this isn't just random happenstance. This is God showing us. The Holy Spirit will teach us things. Bring back to what Jesus said. Help us remember those things. We also, second point, and I'll move faster now, the inheritance from Jesus. Verse 27, Jesus is given his last will and testament. You say, well, that's encouraging, Brother Brett. That's real exciting. It is exciting because you know what? Death has no sting. The grave has no victory. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Jesus was telling them what he was leaving. It wasn't gold, precious stones, money, clothing. What was he leaving behind? He says, look, guys, I'm fixing to be out of here. Here's what I'm going to leave you in my will. Peace. What better thing? What does this world need? What does this country need? What do our families need? They need peace. And by the way, he gave them something that nobody could give. Nobody could give what he had. Peace. Most of the problems we go through, it's because we're tormented in our inner soul. And we search out to try to ignore it. We pursue entertainment. We chase things we shouldn't be chasing to escape that torment. And you know what? All the time, Jesus has the peace right there. And he says, that is our inheritance. It's, by the way, for him to leave us peace, he owns peace. Jesus is peace. And he gives it to us. And he says, don't let your heart be troubled and have no fear. Fear and trouble, a troubled soul and a fearful soul, is a soul with no peace. And he says, I give it not as the world. What do you mean by that? When the world gives you something, usually there's a cost. It's called a hidden cost. When the world gives you something, the world can take it back. You know what? When Jesus gives you something, nobody can touch it. Because Jesus is not an Indian giver, is he? He gave us the Holy Spirit. Jesus left us peace in his will. And you know what? You have it forever, whether you realize it or not. It's about as ridiculous as somebody walking into a restaurant and saying, man, I'm hungry. I just can't afford nothing to eat. And you look over and say, I know for a fact you got a $100 bill in your pocket. Oh, I'm just hungry, but I can't afford to buy anything to eat. And you tell them again, you got a $100 bill in your pocket. Use it. Order you a meal. And that's the way a lot of Christians live their life. They have the ability They have the peace and power of God in their pocket, and they refuse to use it. And they go through life struggling and doing without when there's no cause for it. Look over, please, at chapter 16. And by the way, Jesus left peace so that the world could see that God loves us and we love God. But in chapter 16, I want to read verse 5. "But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask, 'Where are you going?' But because I've said these things to you, your sorrow has filled your heart. But to tell you the truth, it's to your advantage I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because you do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you." You see, this is the promise by Jesus. We talked about the plan by Jesus, the inheritance from Jesus. Now this is the promise by Jesus. Jesus promised it was to our advantage in verse 7 that he leave and the Holy Spirit come. Take him at his word. It's to our advantage. Verses 8 through 12, he says, "This Holy Spirit, he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment." See, he convicts the world of sin for people who don't believe. By the way, if your heart started beating fast when I started talking about salvation a while ago, you know, that's not because of the donut you ate down there in the fellowship hall. Let me tell you what that was. That was the Holy Spirit trying to, you got a little jittery and you start gripping the seat like, he's messing with me now. He's meddling. No, that's the Holy Spirit saying you need to get saved. And that's what you do. I sat back many a times grabbing onto that pew. That's why my muscles are so strong. Because I didn't want to let go. I was nervous. I didn't want to come forward. Don't dare ask me to do that. It took me like 15 years just before I had enough courage to stand up at this pulpit. Trust me. You see, he convicts people of sin because he wants them to get saved. He also convicts people of righteousness because there is no way to have a true measure. What is righteousness? Everybody has their own idea of what righteousness is. You can change the definition of the word. And that's what's happened in society today. We took the words in this Bible, we put new definitions to them. Now, we watered it down so much, we don't even know what's right or wrong anymore. But you know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit convicts. He shows us what real righteousness is. And by the way, he also convicts by showing that the person that seems to be running this world is doomed for judgment. By the way, Satan's lost. And yet there are still people that choose to side with him. There are people that think he has something to offer. Nope, he doesn't. Satan's lost. He's lost the war. He's about to get his sentence. And he's about to be dealt with for eternity. And it can't come any soon enough for me. You see, Quit toying with him. Quit letting him meddle in your life. He will if you let him. But you know what? He has no power over you because you have the Holy Spirit as a believer. Now, if you're not a believer, you're fair game and you have no way to defend yourself. You're totally at his mercy. The Holy Spirit is convicting. If your heart is racing, you know that's him. Even if it's not racing, you know what the right thing to do is. It says here that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all the truth. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all the truth. The only way the Holy Spirit can guide you is for you to let him hold on the steering wheel. Let him sit behind the driver's seat. Let him sit there. Let him drive. When the Holy Spirit is in control of your life, he can guide and steer you. You know what? I've never heard an accident report of the Holy Spirit running somebody off in the ditch or running somebody into a telephone pole. You know what? When that happens, what happened? When your life hits a telephone pole, when your life ends up in the ditch, it's usually because you were grabbing the wheel and you were the one that was steering. God doesn't make any mistakes, y'all. He knows what he's doing. Trust him. In the last verses, verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and disclose it to you. It glorifies the Lord. And the Holy Spirit helps us glorify the Lord because he takes what the Heavenly Father has and brings it to us. Okay? I figure by the time I get to be 80 years old, I'll start getting a better handle on this. Unfortunately, our bodies wear out too quick. So why? We got to get on the fast track. Get on the fast track. Let the Holy Spirit dominate your life. He's way older than 80 years. He has a lot of wisdom. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Would you bow with me as they come?